So good morning. I'm glad to be here and see all these banks filled with people and benches and also the young guys here. So it's not really a Christmas message today, but as John read from Luke, the passage of the cost of discipleship, and I still remember it's just 15 years ago. I was 13 years old. And before I lose all attention, that means that I'm 28 now. So when I was 13 years, I still remember, you know, that passage, what we read in Luke, to hate your own father and mother. That was, I always said, you know, that's actually pretty easy. So I was good at that, at least. But, if we read today, I want to speak to everybody here, whether you are parents, whether you are just young, you're old, middle-aged, whoever, and I think this message is what we need more these days than ever before. And also when I went through it and I was preparing what I want to speak about, it really touched my heart and it convicts me that I have to focus again on why we are here, what this life is about. And additional to that passage, what we read in Luke, I want to read from Mark 10, verse 17 to 27. I think that's most here are familiar with that story. It's that where this rich young man comes to Jesus. So let us turn to Mark 10, from verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him, to Jesus, and asked Jesus, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest: go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he, the young man, was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus, looking upon them, said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." So I want to use that passage, and maybe you think, yeah, I'm not rich, so that's not for me. But it's not about the money, and it's not about being rich. And I think we live here in the U.S., I think we do pretty good. But again, it's not about the money, it's about the message. And I want to use this chapter for basically two things. First, to point out a little bit how Jesus is, you know, trying to talk to this man, or how Jesus is evangelizing the man, and compare that to what we do these days. And I think we, in general, whether it is here in the U.S. or in Europe, wherever, we have gone far away from the gospel. If we look at our way, how we do the mission, how we try to bring people to the Lord, a lot of people have left the gospel. And it's more like, you know, we have to sell something. A lot of missionaries turned into salesmen. They just want to get some people in the hall, they just want to get something, and they really turned into salesmen and make all sorts of promises to get people to that point where they maybe pray a prayer and then they can say, you know what, hundreds of people came to God because of me. But that's not about, it's, we have to look in the Bible. And I think Jesus, if you look how Jesus talked to all different people. It's so amazing. And it's so much different to what we see in these days very often. So let us start here. There's this young man, or there's this man, and he's running. So he's a rich man, but he's running. He's not just, you know, not usually a rich man, there is no need for him to run. He has good clothes, so no reason to hassle. But this man, he's running, and he's coming to Jesus, and he knows Jesus. So he's coming, he's running, and then what he's doing, he kneeled down. So just try to draw that picture. There's this rich man, and he's running, and then he's kneeling down on the ground. What a picture, this rich man. Maybe there were people, they know him, this is, you know, he owns so much land, and now this man is kneeling down to Jesus. And then he's talking to Jesus, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So what a beautiful situation here. There's a young man, he's rich, but he's willing to humble himself under the Lord Jesus. He's kneeling down, and he wants to get eternal life. So just imagine how you know, most people would react today. That would be, oh, that's a great opportunity. Now this man he's actually already saved. You know, he's coming here, so let us finish it. But now Jesus is responding at the first point. So why you call me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. So what is Jesus doing here? First thing, he's setting the scale. You know, God is good, and he's the only one who is good. And there is nothing, he's really saying, you know, there's only one good thing, and this is God. There's nothing else. And then Jesus is using the Ten Commandments. You know the commandments, and he's listing them all. And then the young man, he's answering, you know, Master, all these I have observed all day long from my youth. And I think at this point, most of us would say, you know what, that's not true, because everybody's a sinner. We are all sinners. And that's so common these days. And it is true. Of course we are all sinners. But sometimes if I see people saying this, you know, yeah, we are all sinners. But we should always sit down for a moment when we say this. Do we really know what it means to sin? And here Jesus, it's interesting. Jesus is not questioning this at this point. He's not saying, you know what, no, that cannot be true. You know that this is not true. No, Jesus is not doing this. He's not, you know, telling him, you know, what we read in Romans, nobody can do it. He's not saying this. And then Jesus, and this is so, we tend to read over it, but what it says in 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. So Jesus is looking at him, and it's so amazing that we can read this here. Jesus looked at him, and he loved him. What a great statement. And again, we tend to just read over it, but here it says Jesus looked at him, and he really loved that man. There was love. He looked him into the eyes. And then he said one thing, and we know what it is. Go thy way and sell whatever you have. And we know what happened to that man. He went away. And for sure, Jesus knew that he was rich. We know that. And just imagine, you know, if I give an example, you know, if I would be a salesman, and, you know, I'm working for whatever, I'm a salesman for Ford. And you come in, you know, I want to buy that Ford F-150, that new truck, I love it. And I would say, stop. Maybe you should look at, you know, there is a dealer down the road with the new Dodge Ram. Better first check that to make sure that you really want it. They would be insane, right? They would be crazy. I would say, you know what? That's great. We are in the right place, and I will get you in the car today. That's how we would do it, right? And here Jesus, he know that this man is rich. And that's where he's taking him. And why is he doing it? Because he hates him, he wants to get rid of him. No, that's why we read it. He loved him. He looked at him and he loved him. But still, Jesus is telling him, you know what? Give up everything you have. And I know that's a lot because you are rich. But that's what I want to from you. Give up everything, sell everything, come and follow me and take up your cross. So, and this is so much different from what we hear these days so often. You know, I always hear these statements, you know, following Jesus, make that decision today, just take you a few minutes. That's a lie. That's not what we see in the Bible. It doesn't take you a few minutes to decide for Jesus. The Bible tells it will cost you your life. This is what we see here. Give up your own life. It's not about the money that some people are rich or not. It's about giving up your own life. And interestingly, when this man said that he observed all the commandments, Jesus is basically using the first commandment here. You shall not have any other idols besides me. And we know this man had another idol, and that was his possession, what he owns, his money. And he was not willing to give this up. So he actually broke the first commandment. And this is what this is about. And again, it's not about the money. Everybody here, we should look in our lives. Are we willing to give up? And this question, and it always, you know, it always come into my mind, what does it cost me to be a Christian? If I look back the last 5, 6 weeks, 6 months, 2 years, whatever, what does it cost me to be a Christian? And I hope that everybody, you know, that we ask ourselves this all the time. What does it cost me to be a Christian? And then we have also a lot of parents here, and especially we parents, we have a high responsibility with all these wonderful kids we have. But isn't our main goal that we bring our kids to the Lord? And we are always tending. And when I was young, I got the same story. Make that decision. And of course, I made that decision pretty fast. I grew up in a Christian family. But sometimes I hear people, you know, they decide for the Lord. And then, you know, it's starting, you have to make decisions for God or against God. And then I hear people saying, yeah, you know, that's not what I signed up for. And that's the problem. We try to push people sometimes to decisions. You know, pray that prayer, and then you're done. No, you're not done. Then it really starts. Then the battle starts. And this is what we have to teach. That's what we have to teach our kids. It's not about making a decision for you know, do you want to go to heaven? Yes, everybody wants to go to heaven. And if you ask a six-year-old kid, you want to go to heaven? Everybody will say yes. I mean, who would say no, I want to go to hell? But it's not about heaven. It's about God. Do you want God? And this is the question we have to ask here. And are you willing? And I was looking at it. Does it mean now, you know, this Jesus told him to sell everything? Does it mean now everybody's going home today and then we will fill Facebook Marketplace with selling everything? No, that's not what we see here. And I found that statement, and I heard that one day, and it says, what Jesus wants to tell us, you know, when we come to him and when Jesus saves us, it means total surrender. And I found that statement, you must transfer the ownership of all that you are and all that you have to all that he is. And that's what we see here. That's what Jesus wants us to do. It's not about, you know, selling everything and live on the street, but are you willing, everything that you own, are you willing to transfer that over? You know, when I sell a used car, and I did that already, and I bought also some. So what happens, you get the title, and then, you know, you sign off the title, and then you get the money, and then the new guy can do whatever he wants with that car. And that's what we have to do. We have to sign off the title. That's what God wants from us. Sign off the title. Give up what you have. transferred over to me. And how, and of course, it's Sunday, no, everybody agrees with that and say, yes, we do that. We should do that. But tomorrow it's Monday. And I don't like Mondays at all. And very often on Monday, I forgot about the Sunday. So, and I'm sure that there are also some people here who are facing the same problem. But this is what Jesus wants us every day. And if we read that, we read that in, it's in Luke 9:23, where it says, and he said to them, and Jesus said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow him. It's very interesting, this word daily. You know, so often I heard people, I talk to them, you know, are you saved? Yeah, I did that. I repent. I made this decision long time ago. And that's nice. But it's not a point in the, you know, it's not past. Something happened and was finished. It's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. And we must remind ourselves every day. And I need that for sure. Every day we have to remind ourselves why we are here. It's for God. And every day we have to transfer again our, you know, our possessions to him. And that's a daily process. And it's so interesting that we read that in Luke 9, take up his cross daily. It's not something, you know, you done did that. It's daily. And again, I already mentioned this. Today it's so much, you know, about mission is so much about selling. You know, we make all sorts of promises. And, you know, do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to have a good life? Do you want to have a nice marriage? Do you want to have a nice family? That's not, at least I can speak for me, that's not always so easy to be a Christian. It's not always happy time in family. But the question is, again, do you want God? And the problem is, if we ask sometimes, you know, do we want to go to heaven? I think most people don't know what heaven is about. Heaven is about God, being in the presence of God. And I think most people, or a lot of people, may don't want this. Of course you want to, you know, if we talk about heaven, when I was a kid, you won't have pain and everything will be nice. And everybody wants that. Who wants to be sick? Who wants to have pain? Nobody. But that's not heaven about. Heaven is about God. And this is what we see in John 17, verse 3, where it says, and this is eternal life, that they may know the only true God. This is eternal life. It's about God. It's about knowing him. And we had this morning in the Lord's Supper. It's about, for eternity of eternity, we will focus on God. Trying to capture what he did, what he paid, all his miracles, everything. This is eternity. It's all about God. And this is salvation. Salvation. It's about God. It's transferring the ownership of you, what you have, to God, to him. And if we move on now, even the disciples, they were, and just, it's, I mean, just imagine how they must, you know, they look to him. Are you crazy? I mean, this guy, he came here. We could have so much with him. He had actually good money, so we could, you know, get some good food now or whatever. And you send him away like this? This is, you know, the look they may have. And then Jesus said again, you know, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God. And then in 24, he's repeating that, and then there's a slightly difference. How hard is it for them that trust in riches? So it's not about having all this stuff. It's, you know, people who trust in this. And how often do we trust in our, what we have, in our insurance or houses, and how often we do that? And that's dangerous. That's so dangerous. And then he's making that, you know, that comparison, it's easier for a camel. And actually, with Jeremy on Friday, we went to a kind of Christmas event, and we were able to ride a camel. So camel is pretty big, actually. And Jesus makes that comparison here, which is basically just an explanation that it's just impossible. You know, a camel, to go through the eye of a needle, that's not going to happen. There's no way this can, no way. Even if you take warm and cold, you know, things getting smaller, there's no way. It will not make it. And then there is this question, you know, the disciples, they ask, and they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? So if this man cannot be saved, you know, he came here, kneeled down, he really wants that. Who then can be saved? And then Jesus is looking upon them, with man it is impossible, but not with God. And this is what we forgot these days. Salvation is a work of God. Of course, we are called to lead people to that point, to bring them, to show them what salvation is about and where we should introduce them to the Savior. I think it was Nathanael who always brought people to the Lord. He was that disciple who always took people. You know what? I can show you a guy. And then he brought people to Jesus. And this is also how we should be. You know, we should bring people to the Lord. But the salvation, the work of salvation, is God's work. And if it is not God's work, it has no value. And this is what we forget very often. We just want to bring people to that point, you know what? Pray that prayer, you confess your sins, and you are done. And then we forget about the part where God is working. And we also forget about the part where we tell people, you know what God wants from you. And God demands everything. It's not just a little bit or, you know what, just do it now and you will be good. No, you have to come to the point of full surrender. That's true salvation. And when I look back, when I can still remember that time pretty good when I was a young boy, I grew up in a Christian family, so there was no question that I could stay at home on Sunday. There was no way. I had to go. So just went to the Lord's Supper, the family Bible hour, and then just, you know, watch the clock when this is going to be over. Try to, you know, what can I do today to make time, make it faster, read some other books or whatever. So I really went through this, and always sometimes I ask myself, you know, is that really what you want? And I was not happy at that point. And I think this is our major problem, that so often, I think Elijah said it, where he's asking the people of Israel, why you are walking on both sides. And this is what we do so often. What we try to do, basically, is doing a compromise. And I learned that a while ago, very valuable. Usually, compromise burns value. That's what I learned. And give you an example. There's this couple, you know, the woman wants to have the red couch and the man wants to have the blue couch. And they are fighting, and then they say, you know what, now we buy the orange couch. And every morning they step in the living room and they hate the couch, both. So that's about compromise. And so often we try this in our Christian life, compromise. You know what, God, yeah, you can have that and this, but you know what, here I take care of myself. And this is where we fail. And at some point, you know, when we read in Exodus 34, we read, for thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. So who is teaching your kids, don't be jealous? I do that all day long. I have to do that since we got our second child. Don't be jealous. And then when I read this like many years ago, I was always wondering, you know, why is God jealous? And then we read in Corinthians 13, love is not looking for its own, it's not searching for its advantage. And then I read that, you know, God is jealous. It's a jealous God. And I was wondering why. It doesn't make sense. It's actually, you know, we read that God loves us, but on this side we read he's jealous. And then there are so many verses, Psalm 106:8, nevertheless he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. So it's so interesting if we go through the Psalms, you know, these are songs, and all these Psalms, they are all about God. And sometimes if you read, especially through the Old Testament, it's always like God is sitting on this throne and he's basically, you know, he's that's mine, and that's mine. And that's our God. And I was asking myself, why is God like this? If it is all about him, you know, what do I have from salvation? And if we read through, I think we had that last Sunday where he said, Come unto me, all that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I was wondering, what does it mean? And the point here is that God is searching his own glory. That is the good thing. Because God is perfect. And that's exactly our problem. If we don't give up our own possessions, God cannot spread the fullness of his glory on us. And that's the problem. And I tried to find a statement for this. But yeah, for true Christian, eternal joy can only be found in God's glory. And as more God is glorified, as more the heart of a true Christian will be filled with joy. That's why it is all about God. Because if it is not, then it will not fill our heart. It will not fill our souls. And that's why God is telling us to give up everything. Because only if you give up everything, then I can do good. Then I can use it. Then God can use it. Because God is the only one who's good. And if you give up everything, then I can do. Then I can use it. But if you are not willing to do that, then we will struggle. Then we will not be happy. And I know that when I was a young man, always, you know, of course, going to church on Sunday, I had to go. But I told nobody on Monday in school. I mean, that was no go. And singing these old songs, that was not a good thing. I was not very interested about this. And I was always struggling, and I was never happy in that. Always, you know, actually I want to do, but on the other side, no. I'm not interested in this stuff. And this is not what just happened to us when we are young. That's happened to us daily. Always when we are trying, you know, to go on this side and this side, and you know what, I take care of that myself, then we will fail. Because then we will use what we have, we will use it by our own, and then nothing good can turn out of it. But if you use it and if you give it to God, he can use it and he will use it. And that's what we have to do daily. And again, it's all about God. So how often, just asking myself, and it happens so often, you know, we come here together in the Lord's Supper, we thinking about Jesus, about God, and how often it, you know, you think, you know what, I heard this 10,000 times, I have nothing from it, I know everything. What a terrible statement. As I said, eternal life is about God, knowing the only true God. And we will spend eternity of eternities just focusing on God. And that's why there is no pain That's why there is no sadness in heaven, because we are 100% focused on God, on perfect God, on the God who is good. And this is the question again today. Do you want this? No, I don't ask, yeah, you want to go to heaven? You made that decision? No, I ask, do you want God? Do you desire him? Do you seek for God? Do you want to know more about him? I know that we all struggle in this, and there are so many things in this world, especially in Christmas time, you know, all these presents and all that, these shops, and it's even worse here in the US than in Germany, but so much, you know, buy here and buy that, and then credit cards and take the waiting out of wanting and all that stuff. And that's so dangerous. And that's all made by Satan to bring us away from that thing. And this is also what I want to speak to the parents here. We are blessed with so many kids. And we have to teach them about God. Not about making that quick decision and then going to Sunday school and everything is fine. We have to teach them about God. God is holy. God hates the sin. We have to teach them about God's wrath. We have to draw them near to God. And I'm so afraid that so many, that we are on the way to lose that. You know, we are so busy these days, especially with kids dropping them off here and there and there and there. And then we also have to work so much, you know, mother and father, we're all working and trying to get the money. And I have to pay bills too, so I know how it is. And then I hear parents saying, always also in Germany, you know, yeah, I want to be able to offer something to my kid. But that's not the point. The thing, what you have to really offer your child, you cannot buy with money. And that's important. That's what we have to remember ourselves. And taking care of the spiritual life of a kid is not done by dropping it off to Sunday school. I'm very happy that we have the Sunday school. And our kids, they love it. I mean, my girl was just here, and it was so surprising because she, since 1 week, she's telling us that she wants to say the words from Genesis 1, verse 1, and then she's stepping up here, she's talking. That's Caitlin. It's just surprising every day. But still, the point is, you know, we as parents, we are responsible for the spiritual life. And again, it's not done by dropping it off to Sunday school and then, you know what, now it's taking care of the spiritual life. Sunday school is a nice thing for Sunday. I agree to that. But it's not, Sunday school is not responsible for the spiritual life of your child. And so I want to encourage everybody. And also, it's kind of a warning. We are responsible. Talk to your kids about this. Read the Bible at home. And talk about sin. Talk about God. Don't try to, you know what, try to get them to that decision that they, you know, that everything is good. Really have a relationship with your kids. Talk to them about God. Bring them near to God. And tell them the truth, what Jesus wants from them. And that's everything. And only if we give everything, we will find that joy in Christ. If we are not willing to give everything, we won't be happy. And that's why Jesus sent that man away. Jesus loved him, but he sent him away. There was no place in the kingdom of God for him at this point. We don't know if he came back or repented at a later point, but at this point, Jesus sent him away. The young man was not willing. He went away with grief. That's what we read. For he had great possessions. He was totally, I don't know if he was sad or if he was more angry. It's hard to say, but we see he was grieved. Jesus sent him away because he was not willing to give everything. And that's also our problem. And I want to encourage everybody here to test, you know, to test ourselves. What is our life about? Is it just, you know, if your cost of being a Christian is just that you are here every morning on Sunday and that you stand up earlier than the average US citizen on Sunday morning. If that is the cost of your Christian life, that's not a lot. That's what I can say. And this is a serious thing. We are talking about life and death. And we all our parents, we all love our children. And just imagine if you go to the doctor and the doctor says, you know what, your kid has serious cancer, but there is a way we can deal with it, but it will cost you a lot of money and your insurance will just take care of that. You would go home and you would sell everything. You don't care of your house, of your cars. You will do everything for your child. I'm sure about this. But you know what? Our kids, they have something more serious than just cancer. Because cancer, it can take away your body. But sin will take away your soul. And that's what we have to deal with. Much worse than cancer. We have to deal with sin. And that's why I want to encourage everybody, especially the parents here. This is a serious thing. Deal with it. That's why we are. That's why God gave us these kids. And always when we are blessed with 5 wonderful kids, but every time our kid was born, I said, you know what? If this kid is not finding to Christ, life has no value. And that's what we forget so often. It's all about Christ. There's nothing like, you know, this man, he has great cars, great family, great house, everything nice, but he's just missing that one thing, and that's Jesus. No, that's wrong. That's such a wrong statement. This man has nothing. His life has no value. It's all worthless. It will all burn up because he's missing Jesus. And we tend to this, like, this man, you know, he had everything. And that's why he came to Jesus, you know what, I also want to get this. I have so much money, I bought all this, but this eternal life, I also want to get this. So how can I get this? And this was in his intention, actually. He came, you know, what shall I do that I can get this? But it's not about, Jesus is not something, you know, we can put on top of the ice cream and it makes it complete. If Jesus is not there, no value. There's nothing. There's nothing you have. And that's the point, and that's what we have to remember. And then again, salvation, it's all about God, and this is what we have to remember. Deal with it. Know God. Let us learn more about God. I heard that statement, so we are saved by God, saved from God, and saved for God. And that's a kind of, that's the gospel in a nutshell, basically. You know, God sent his son to save us, and we are saved not from Satan or from hell, we are saved from God, from God's wrath. So many people think, you know, the hell is all about the devil is there, that Satan is the king in hell. That's not the case. The hell is the place where God's wrath is poured out. So we are saved from God, and at least we are saved for God. And I already talked about this. We are saved for God, for his glory. That's what the Bible tells us. For his name's sake. And this is what we have to remind ourselves every day. And again, it's not about, yeah, you know, I have to give everything up. Christian life is actually, you know, if we read that verse, come to me all who are heavy loaden. Actually, if I look at this, Christian life sounds very, I don't know, that doesn't sound very good. But again, if we are giving up everything, it will fill our heart with eternal joy. That's why it says, I will give you rest for your souls. I don't give you rest for your body. It will not be always easy. You will also have to deal with cancer, whatever. But I will give you rest for your soul. And this is what we are all longing for. Rest for our souls. And I want to encourage everybody. I want to encourage parents, young teens, everybody. Make that decision clear. You will not regret it. Decide for God. Yes, it will cost you something. You have to stand up where people will maybe laugh about you. But you know what? It will fill your heart with joy. And that's why people were killed by Romans. They were crucified, they were burned, and they were still singing. Because their hearts, their souls, they were saved. Rest for their souls. So they had joy in their heart while that happened. And that's what we need. We need the decision for God, and then God can fill our hearts with joy. And that's what we read in 2 Peter. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do so, these things, you will never fall. Let us make our decision clear, and again daily. Not, I know we are now all in the, you know, mood. Yes, you are right. I do this. And again, tomorrow is Monday. And we forget so fast all about this. Just drive to work and then we stuck in traffic and it's already, whole Sunday is gone. I know how fast that happens because I have to go every day from south to north. So let us focus on it. Daily, take up the cross. And also for, you know, maybe you sit here just watching on the clock, you know, when does this show go over? I just want to, you know, we have such a good meal at home waiting for us. I hope that's not the case. Maybe you're sitting here, you know what, I really want this. And when I was a kid, I was always struggling with it. And at some point I said, you know, I want that. And then people told me, yeah, you know, you are saved. I know when, you know, you made that decision in 2004, whatever. But that never really helped me. I was always, you know, laying in bed. And, you know what? I know I made that decision, but was it really a real decision? Am I really a Christian? And I want to encourage you. And that's what I, you know, when people came to me and then, you know, I don't know, I have so many doubts. I don't say, you know, if you made that decision, everything is good. I'm not talking about that you can get lost if you want saved. That would be something that's against God, because again, God is perfect, and if he starts to work, and that's what I said, salvation is a work of God, and if God is doing something, there's no way this goes wrong. So there's no way that a Christian can get lost. But the Bible tells us clearly that there are, you know, people who, you know, the where we read that you know, there's fruit coming, but then the wind is coming and then it's just fading away. So there is a lot of scripture where we read that there is, you know, people who say, Lord, Lord, but the Lord will tell them, I don't know you. So I was always afraid of that. And then one day, you know, somebody said to me, you know, I don't know if you are saved. I cannot tell you. But God will, if you ask him. And that's what I also want to encourage everybody who's struggling with that. Pray to God. God is mighty to save, and God will make it clear to you. And this is what we read, and that's such a wonderful passage. It's a passage you can make a whole family Bible hour about this. This is Genesis 32, where Jacob is fighting with God, basically. And this is such a... There was one major encouragement for me, where, you know, the angel is telling him, let me go, because the day is coming. So let me go. They were fighting. And then Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And that's a wonderful prayer. You know, hang on to it. If you are not sure, if you have, don't be satisfied with some statements. Hang on to it. Hang to God and tell him, you know what, I will not let you go until you bless me. That's a wonderful prayer. A daily, wonderful prayer. And that's what we, you know, so often, you know, we struggle, and then we take all what the world can give us, and we are happy with that. We are satisfied with that. But just for a short while. And now it's Christmas time, and, you know, I remember still when I was a kid, you know, I was telling my parents, you know, if you give me this, if you buy me this for Christmas, I will be January, February, March, I will be in my room playing without no problem. And then they bought it, And then, you know, first Christmas day, I was in my room all day long. Second day, still there. And the third day, I went to my, I don't know, what should I do? Yeah, we bought all that, you know, like nice Lego set you want to have. Yeah, it's all done, and you know what? It's all done. I need something. You know, everybody's laughing because we all went through that situation, you know, and we still walk through it. If we are older, we buy something, you know, that is a great thing. And 2 days later, yeah, you know what? Actually, there's something better. And this is what we see in this world, right? There is no eternal joy. And that's why I encourage you. That's why I want to encourage everybody, myself too. Let us pray to the Lord. Let us hang on to him and say, you know, I will not let you go until you bless me. That should be our prayer daily. And it will change our day. Make that decision. Let us make that decision clear for God, and we will see miracles. We will see God in our life. But if we are not willing to give up our possessions, then God cannot show us his fullness, the fullness of his glory. And that's what we are longing for. That what is our soul longing for, to have peace and to see God glorified. Glorified through his Son, and that's why we are celebrating Christmas. Jesus was here, that's what we had this morning, it just came up into my mind. Jesus was here to do the Father's business. And now we are here to do the business of our Father. That's why we are here. And let us focus on this every day. And I want to close in prayer. Oh Lord Jesus, we read through this passage and now we come here in weakness. We test ourselves and we see how often we fail. But again, we come here because we are longing for this peace. And we pray to you that you will help us, that you will help us to make our decisions clear. And we cannot do this by ourselves. We cannot gain eternal life by doing something. No, you are the one who can give us this life. And help us to give up our own possessions, that we realize that it cannot turn into good if we do something on our own. That it can only turn into good if we give everything to you, because you are good. And that's what we pray today, that you will help us in our lives, at home, at work, with our children, especially with our children, that we longing for them, that they will find God, that they will give up their own life, that they will seek God, and that they will follow him, that they will long for getting to know God, the one true God. And that's what we pray this morning, and bless this Sunday and also this Sunday evening when we have that nice time together with all these precious children. And thank you that you take care of us and that we know that. In thy precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.